Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the town hall meeting here at Olivet. Okay, right now we're just going to have prayer and then we will be bringing up our leader here. Mr. Keith Mohammed. So could we stand for prayer, please? Lord God, our Father and Savior, Lord, in Jesus Christ, Lord, we come thanking and praising you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all your blessing, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for how you've been keeping us and, Lord, blessing us and our family, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless us and our family, bless our community. Lord, bless the all of the Oscar Grant committee, bless all of the workers that's working around the Oscar Grant case, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to just touch each and every one, Lord, and all others, Lord, that's doing mighty things that involve connecting with this case and Minister Keith Mohammed, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that we would all learn today and receive and continue to do good works as we have been doing in the past. And thank the Lord and bless you, Lord, and praise you for our pastor of all of that, Pastor Humphrey, Lord, and all the other preachers and leaders that's involved with this movement and workers, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us welcome Minister Keith Mohammed.
In the name of God, in the Arabic language we call him Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is but one God, and I bear witness that Moses, I bear witness that Abraham, I bear witness that Jesus, I bear witness that Muhammad are his messengers. We thank Almighty God for all of his prophets, those named and those unnamed, for all of the sages and wise men and women, those named and those unnamed. But we are especially thankful that Almighty God thought enough of you and I to bring us together in our demands for justice. For the Bible says that justice stands afar, and equity cannot enter because truth has fallen to the street. Amen. We have gathered weekly from the first weekend of January until the present in these town hall meetings because of our demands for justice. On January 3rd, I believe it was, we had a men's town hall meeting here before the videotape footage of the murder of Brother Oscar Grant was shown to the public. We had begun to murmur, having heard that a shooting had occurred, but in the absence of facts at that point, in the absence of video footage, we did not give it as much attention as maybe we could have. By the time we left from here, I believe that Sunday, the video footage was revealed through KTVU, initially through, I believe, YouTube, that KTVU would pick it up and that news would reach the entire world. So much is going on in our cities that demand that somebody stands for justice. And it is apparent that in cities across America, that those that have ruled us have felt that they've left us without the desire to make a strong demand. It was Frederick Douglass who said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Yes. And it is apparent that the enemy of justice has fought against those that would cry for justice for so long that they fought that they had silenced the voices of justice.
That's right.
And so we are honored that we are all gathered together to cry in unity.
That's right.
For justice.
Yes.
That it does not matter where we've come from, how we worship, so long as we have in front of us our focus
on justice.
Yes.
So when we gathered in early January, there were other issues that still exist that we were responding to. Among them, the criminalization of urban youth.
Yes.
That has been ongoing for a number of years, and perhaps unbeknown to some is when Minister Louis Farrakhan called for the Million Man March, the motive of that call was that young, particularly black men, found themselves as more permanent residents in local, state, and federal penitentiaries. And the way laws were being crafted, some of those residencies appeared to be permanent. I was at the Eid celebration on last Sunday at a local mosque in Oakland. And present there was a brother of ours who is now a religious leader in Islam. We call him an imam, who spent time in San Quentin on death row. And by God's grace, during his stay there, he discovered himself, much as you heard in the story of Malcolm X, and in that self-discovery, improved his condition while incarcerated. But on his road to self-improvement, when he had the opportunity to be considered for some sort of parole, a warden was so wicked with him that he became angry while on death row, and I believe he slapped and choked the warden. And to show you God's grace and miracle, this young man that was just growing to know and to become himself, not only slapped and choked the warden, but eventually gained his release from San Quentin's death row. And I'm only saying that to suggest that sometimes we look out at this call for justice and feel that this is a fight that cannot be won, because it seems like if we take two steps forward, somebody tries to push us three steps back, but you're on the right side of justice.
Yes.
And our victory is really assured. And so give ourselves a big round of applause for being here at the right time and for the right reason. I want to bring before us, before we begin our dialogue on the issues concerning Oscar Grant and Brownie Polk and others, that we have with us today a sister who was witness to community injustice. And I'm going to not explain it except to say that after our folk have been looked on as criminals, that really means that it becomes open season against urban young people. And when this happens, you begin to hear explanations from folks that we heard with Oscar. Meaning, after Mesley shot Oscar, too many people asked the question, what did Oscar do? Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're very clear that Oscar did nothing wrong, but look, it required over 30 videotapes from cell phones and cameras to convince those that see urban young people as natural criminals. And even in the face of that videotape, Chief G was very clear when he said that his officers acted professionally and according to the protocol of BART policing, even though we all know that they did not. Now, this last week or so, a young black person was aggressed upon. And when law enforcement arrived, as I understand it, they rubber stamped the unjust aggression. So I want to bring our Pastor Williams back up and his guests so that they can share with us some of this egregious event that they were witness to just a few days ago. So please receive back to the podium our brother, who's a great advocate for justice, the Reverend Henry Williams.
Good
Praise the Lord. But that was today, less than an hour ago, about an hour ago. A corner store on the corner of Fruitvale and Foothill, there was a black woman beating up in the store, and they come outside, beating her outside of the store. Four of the Arabs there from that store. And there was a carload of police wind up there and everything of this nature. They left and took her to the hospital in handcuffs. Sergeant Garcia, which is a man that is known for abusing blacks here in Oakland, and I believe he's the one that killed Mr. Kane up here on but anyway, he says, I believe I know you. I said, yes, you know me, because I went and put him on TV right in front of city council and his badge number and everything, some things he did to a little black boy out in the Fruitvale district. Today, what happened today and everything, I want to bring up the lady that witnessed this. There was a guy who got off the bus and got involved to break these people up and stop them from beating on this woman. Okay, and here's another lady here witnessed part of it. She's a nurse from
Altabate.
Thank you. Let's welcome Miss Roxanne Lewis. Hear the truth of what happened from her.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Roxy Lewis, and I do work at Altabate Hospital in Brooklyn. I've been there for 13 years. What I saw today was no more than an unfair injustice, as well as police and how they handle the situation. I'm attending the Corralto School District school that is right around the corner from where this incident happened, the Fruitvale Corralto District School. And I was leaving class today. What I saw, I was appalled on what I saw. The men, if you can call them men, from that store, they started attacking this lady, older woman. And when I made it to the corner, her face was very red, where you can see that she had been abused in the face. Her face was just that red. And as people was standing and coming by to see what was going on, I got back closer so I could find out what's going on, because at this time that the older woman was really irate. She was screaming, give me my money back, give me my ID back, give me my bus pass back. You can't take from me. I'm an American. You cannot come over here and take from me. And she was very upset, and she was throwing fruit at them. One of the young men came, and he was yelling obscenities at her. And a passerby came up. I wrote his name down, Armando Gaines. He approached the situation and got between one of the young men. The first man I saw struck her. He got between the older woman and the young man that was beating her. And when he got between her, the bus, AC Transit bus, was coming at that time. And I could hear a young man, he evidently had saw it from the bus. And he was yelling from the bus, you know, stop, stop, don't hit her, don't hit her. So when the bus pulled up on that corner and actually stopped, the young man got off the bus, and by this time, another young man from the store had started to attack her and was calling her all kind of obscenities. And it was a young lady that worked in the store. She came from somewhere, but she was standing up, and she was all in this lady, you know, in her presence, and was, you know, telling her to leave, and screaming at her. And I was asking her, I said, what's going on? What happened? And by this time, another gentleman had came up and pushed a woman. There's some paper, the little boxes with the newspaper in it. Well, another gentleman came up, another young man. He came up and he called her out of her name and he pushed her onto these containers, these newspaper containers. And as she was struggling to get up, you can tell that she had some physical limitations. And she struggled to get up, and every time she would try to get up, one of these people would just attack her. They would just pounce on her. And so by this time, the initial first man that stopped them, he had walked on away. He had went across the street, and the man got back on the bus. He had left, but he told them, don't touch her anymore. This is wrong. Don't touch her again. So when he left, they were back to the usual. They were just hitting her and pushing her down, and she was scarred all up. Her face had even got redder, if you can believe. She can get any redder in the face. Her cheeks was puffy. And at this time, one police officer had came on the scene. And by this time, I had gone in the store to find out what was going on. What had happened? Why don't you give her her money so she can calm down? But by this time, she was totally irate and out of control. And the first officers arrived, was two of them arrived. And at this time, one of them drew out a taser for her. And the other one pulled his handcuffs. And they took this old woman and put her on her knees on the ground, handcuffed her. And another lady that had come up, we both yelling with the police, do not tase her. She's not the problem, she's the victim. You need to talk to the guy that has beaten her to a pulp. You know, talk with them. Of course, they did not listen to us. But if we hadn't been standing there, I felt that this older woman would have been tased right there. So I hung around to see what they were gonna do. So one officer came up and he pulled me and the other lady to the side, and he proceeded to say that we know her. You know, she does things like this. And I said, well, what does this have to do with now? I witnessed her being assaulted. What are you gonna do now? That may have happened in the past, but what about right now? I'm telling you, I saw them physically abuse this woman. What are you gonna do? They did nothing to them. And they probably would have hauled her off to jail if the pastor, Reverend William, Minister William, hadn't been there, if I hadn't been there, and a few other people in the community that was concerned, they probably would have hauled her off to jail because they handcuffed her. And that was their intent, to take her in the cop car. And another officer came up and they started asking questions. And then some of the people that worked in the store, they went and asked them. And they got me calling, ambulance came, they put her in the ambulance with all her stuff, and the ambulance drove away with her, and the officers drove right away. They didn't take a police report from me. They didn't take one from anybody that told them they saw this woman getting beat. The gentleman, while we were still there, Mondo Gaines, he was there, and he's the one that initially came and broke them up and got them off of her the first time. The police never spoke with him. I told the police officer, this is the young man that came first and got them off for her. I didn't see him go up to him and talk to him, not once. But I did get his name and his phone number. And I know about the police brutality, but to see it, I'm not police brutal, I'm sorry, about the injustice that goes on in Oakland, but to see it up close and personal, it was very sickening. It's very sickening. That could have been me. That could have been either one of us. Mm-hmm. But police is supposed to protect and serve. How was this woman protected? As the young people say, she did get served. Well, how was she protected?
Mm. Her face was swollen. And we probably believe a little bit early because I let go to the hospital.
Yes, sir. Please
see if she's up there.
Yes, sir. In fact, it is our duty to ensure that our people are treated properly. And as our sister and brother have given us this report, it
began to cause my mind to rotate around the notion you often hear that property is 9/10 of the law. So the store owner, BART as an institution, and others that claim or allege to be as authorities because of their business ownership, their class distinctions, all of a sudden become defended, while poor people find ourselves defenseless against the whims of the rich and the powerful.
Yeah.
And so we pray that our sister comes to swift recovery, and we will certainly investigate this case as fully as we can to ensure that human beings are being treated as human beings. And it doesn't matter whether the aggressor is black, brown, red, yellow, or white. I'm reminded of a teaching that you'll hear, and I'll clarify it for you because there's so much propaganda that goes out about the faith of Islam. So I'm just going to share a principle in it that has been propagandized called jihad. You all heard the term jihad?
Yes.
And I'm going to say it, it's on tape, and somebody's going to think that that means something's going to blow up somewhere. That's not what that means. Jihad is a spiritual goal for believing people. And you'll find that it is in harmony with whatever you call your faith, if your faith is one toward righteous deeds. Jihad is a self-imposed struggle against my own weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
That if I see injustice, the least that I can do is be a witness and feel compassion for those that have been treated with injustice. Many of us are here right now as a result of what you call jihad. You saw Oscar Grant murdered, and your heart said, I need to pay attention. I need to show my love and compassion for his family. And I know that every one of us who are sitting here today had that feeling when you saw the murder of Oscar Grant. Is that right?
Yes.
So in the least with this that we call jihad is that we should feel compassion for those that suffer injustice.
Yes.
The second degree of jihad is to raise my voice against what was wrong. So when someone on that bus saw our sister being beaten and said to those that were aggressing her, don't you touch her again. Well, that's the level of jihad.
Yes, sir.
He's raised, or she has raised, voice against what's wrong. When our advocates for justice take the court proceeding and start speaking into it, they're raising their voices, which is our First Amendment right, by the way, to speak into what we know to be an injustice, or what we believe to be an injustice. This is a level of activism that is required from us. Now, the highest level of jihad is to actually engage physically, mentally, and spiritually the process of change. So not only do we raise our voice, but if you raise my hand against, or raise your hand against my sister, then I will raise my hand against you. Highest level. Now, if there's an aggression in the door of our building, we will do our best to arrest the aggression.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's jihad. We're not looking for someone to fight with. There's enough to fight with that begins with self.
Yes.
So it begins with a self fight against cowardice, against niggardliness or stinginess, against the idea that I am the only one on the planet that matters. Therefore, when I see someone laying on the side of the road, don't offer them aid. Just assume that that bum shouldn't have been drinking.
No.
See, that's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So you have it there in the Bible where a man is laying on the side of the road having fallen upon some thieves. Mm. They hit him in the head and left him laying for dead, and a priest saw him there and didn't do nothing. A Levite saw him there and didn't do nothing. And if you were to have asked them why, they probably would have said things like, oh, I don't know. What did he do to get down there? Mm. Maybe he was drinking. Maybe he's on drugs. I'm afraid to speak to him because he might speak back to me. Well, okay. This thing called jihad begins with taking courage with self to witness what is wrong, to have compassion for those that have suffered injustice. And when he upped the ante, we step up to the plate and begin to do something about it. And the best thing you could do for that man lying on the road is pick him up and help him with his problem. Yeah. That's jihad. I've overcome myself to become a servant for others. And so, sisters and brothers, we have many wonderful servants here this afternoon who are looking carefully at the case surrounding the murder of Oscar Grant and other issues. First, I'm going to bring our brother forward, who is a capable student of justice. I believe you taught at a school for justice, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, what was the name of that school?
School for Social Justice and Community Development.
From the School for Social Justice and Community Development, our brother is a capable community servant. Please receive our big brother, the brother Wilson.